Let's turn in our Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, reading through verse 14. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I want to call our attention tonight to three words which are used three times in these verses that we have just finished reading. The three words are these little ones, these little ones. Notice that first in verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. And then if you will look down to verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. And then again in verse 14. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I want us to consider the context in which these words were spoken. Our Lord spoke these words at first to his 12 disciples. And we know that one of them was a lost man. The Lord Jesus Christ told them, as recorded in John chapter 6 and verse 70, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. So these words were at first spoken to the 12 disciples of the Lord, and we remember that one of them, Judas Iscariot, was a lost man. They had been taught, like the Jews of that day, that the Messiah would come to set up an earthly kingdom. And we see in verse 1, they referred to this earthly kingdom as the kingdom of heaven. And they were concerned. They were concerned, all 12 of them, they were concerned about who would be the greatest and this kingdom. Now, keep your places here, but I want you to realize that about 6 months after this took place, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 20, about 6 months later, two of the disciples, the sons of Zebedee, their mother came to the Lord and asked for this privilege that her two sons be given the greatest places, places of preeminence, places of renown. Notice in chapter 20 of Matthew, in verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, that's James and John, with her sons, they were along with her, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, here it is, this is what I desire. Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. In other words, grant my two sons these two places of preeminence, the right hand and the left hand of you. And then, if that were not enough, I want you to look in Luke chapter 22, on the eve of our Lord being crucified. The night before, he was taken to the cross and was crucified, slain, suffered, and died in the stead of his people. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 23, we read, our Lord told them one of them would betray him. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also, now notice, there was also a strife among them. That same day, there was a strife among his disciples which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. Back to our text. One of the writers gave these three lessons for us to take from this passage of Scripture where the disciples were seeking what we must call self-preeminence, self-aggrandizement. Three lessons for you and I. Number one, this shows that they were like us, the disciples. They were just like you and just like me. They were men and women of like passions. That's the first lesson. This shows that they were like us, but that's not the end of that first lesson. This shows that they were like us, and so that we may become like them. The second lesson, it was an evil hard to be cured in them, and it will not easily be cured in us. And third, the Savior took great pains to correct it in them. Let us learn from the lessons he taught them. So here we have the 12 disciples coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And at this time, the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples, as he did on other occasions, by what we would call an object lesson. He called a little child unto him and set him in the midst. And they looked upon the child. That's the reason he set him in their midst, for them to gaze upon this little child. And he said, listen, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, except you be converted and become as a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, there are several lessons that we as adults and his disciples as adults could learn by observing a little child that he set in their midst. Little children are usually unassuming, and they are oblivious to class distinctions. Maybe a master of a house, a plantation, and he has servants, and he has a son, and his son goes out and he plays with the servant's children. They're his equal as far as he is concerned. That's usually the case. Now, there's some things about children we are warned not to imitate. The Apostle Paul said, be not like children, that is, in being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And little children, many times their minds are quickly changed, you know, and they run after something else. God's children, God's people, we should have our feet on the ground. We should have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should trust in the Word of God as our rule, and we should be steady. We should be firm. We should be steadfast in the faith. So there's some things about children we are certainly not to imitate. But in this matter, this particular matter, we are. In my kingdom, the Lord Jesus said, whosoever you will be the chiefest, you want to be the chiefest in this kingdom of mine, then he shall be the servant of all. The Lord Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. They needed to turn. Our Lord said, except you be converted and become as a little child. They needed to be converted. Converted from what? Converted from this desire to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They needed to be turned from that desire, from that thought of being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible teaches us that there is an initial conversion that every child of God experiences. Look with me, for example, keep your places here, of course, but look in Acts chapter 11. When a person first is regenerated by the Spirit of God, there is a turning away from sin, and a turning to the Lord. Acts chapter 11 and verse 21. And isn't that, and it is, this is what repentance means. It means a change of mind. A change of mind. And a person's mind is changed. He turns. Our Lord gave this example concerning repentance when he told of a man who had two sons. And he told both of them, go work in my field today. And one said, I'm not going. And one said, I'll go. And the one who said, I'll go, didn't go. And the one who said, I'm not going, repented. He changed his mind and he went to work in his father's field. Here in Acts chapter 11 and verse 21, we read, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number, now notice, first of all, they believed and turned unto the Lord. John Gill said, effectual vocation or effectual calling is the call of men out of darkness to light. And conversion answers to that call and is the actual turning of men from the one to the other. In other words, being converted, turning from the darkness, turning to the light. Turning from sin, turning to Christ. Our Lord told Peter, you remember, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter needed to be converted. He was full of pride, wasn't he? Lord, if everyone, all of these people here, all of these other disciples, if they all forsake thee, you can count on me. Peter, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Now, when you're converted, when he denied the Lord the third time, and evidently he was in a, well, no doubt about it, he was in a place where the Lord could look at him. And when the Lord looked at Peter, the scripture says he went out and wept bitterly. He was converted, wasn't he? He was converted. And he was a strength, a help to the other disciples. That is what was needed at this point by the disciples. And I cannot help but think, because we know these 12 disciples, with the exception of Judas, we think of them as the 12 apostles. And the apostle Paul came along later. And think of this. This is what Paul said of himself. Remember, our Lord said, "He that is chiefest among you, let him be the servant of all." No apostle, as far as we know, was used any more than Paul in spreading the gospel over the known world at that time and establishing churches in many, many places. And this is what he said about himself. This is the first time he spoke about himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he said, "I am least among the apostles." There's 12 apostles, and I'm the least among the 12 apostles. The next time we find him writing along this line in Ephesians, he said, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints." First, less of the 12. Now, less of all saints. You see, as a man or woman grows in grace, we grow also in recognition of how much we owe to God's wonderful grace. How very much we owe. If it were not for the grace of God, where would any of us be that are here tonight singing praises unto the Lord and worshiping Him? We have no idea. I just know for myself, I'm so thankful God did not let me go, but He intervened in my life. He intervened. The last time we have Paul writing along this line is in 1 Timothy when he said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." How many times have believers mentioned to me, you know, they say, "Preacher, it just seems like I see my sins more. I see myself more sinful now than I ever did before." That's just the way it should be. The more you grow in grace. If growing in grace makes you more proud of yourself and cause you to look down on other people, don't call that growing in grace. That's growing in hypocrisy. But to grow in grace, I like what the old woman said one time. She said, "I believe in growing in grace like the cow's tail. The more it grows, the closer it gets to the ground." Oh. And remember these words the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints in Rome. Now, Rome was the capital. There was a church there before Paul got there. We know that. He did go to Rome, but not maybe like he thought he would go to Rome. He went there as a prisoner, appealing unto Caesar. But before he ever went there, he wrote to that church, and he said this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The faith that you have, and faith There's small faith, we know that. Our Lord told his disciples they had little faith. He told those two Gentiles, the Syrophoenician woman and the centurion, great is thy faith. Faith is like every grace. It may grow, God the Holy Spirit, producing the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? And God's dealt to every man a measure of faith. You didn't by nature have the faith that you have tonight. Faith is a gift of God. Don't look down on someone else maybe who doesn't have the clarity that you have in the gospel. And then Paul wrote this also to the church at Rome. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Aren't you glad that not many mighty are called, that God has chosen the foolish things of this world, the weak things, the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. Well, now, for just a few minutes, let's consider the three words, these little ones. First, I want you to notice in verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, they are described, these little ones, get that in your mind, these little ones in this passage of Scripture are described as they which believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the little child that he set in their midst as an object lesson, I do not believe was old enough to believe in Christ. Because in Mark's account of this very thing, he tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ took this child up in his arms. Well, a man normally would not take a child over, three or four up in their arms. But these little ones our Lord is speaking of now are those who are old enough to believe in Christ, to have faith in Christ. You might say, well, preacher, how old must you be to believe in Christ? Well, I can't answer that. But I can say this. Everyone who believes in Christ is referred to as a newborn babe. Everyone who believes in Christ. I don't care if they're 70 years old or 17 or 7, wherever, whenever. When God gives faith and a person is regenerated by the Spirit of God and comes to faith in Christ, he's a newborn, she's a newborn babe. I want you to, again, keep your places here and look with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Now, in both of these verses, we see the words little children, but they are not translated from the same words. In verse 12, we see what is true of all who are born again, of every person who is saved. This is true of everyone. Their sins are forgiven them for his name's sake. Their sins are not forgiven them for their faith. They're not forgiven them for their repentance. They're not forgiven them for their works. They are forgiven them for his name's sake. Every born-again believer. Then in verse 13, we see spiritual growth. And the word which is here translated little children, it's a different word. And it can mean an infant, but most often a half-grown boy or girl. Strong, H. Strong says, figuratively, this refers to an immature Christian, but still a child of God. All right, back to our text. So these little ones are those who believe in Christ. Now, second, in verse 10, these little ones, the Lord says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Now this, of course, speaks to all men. There's no question about that. But especially and in particular to preachers. He warns his disciples not to despise little children which believe in him. They are, after all, God's children. They are the sheep of his pasture, and they must be cared for as such. The disciples, in seeking each one to be the greatest, were in fact, as John Gill said, striving to lessen one another. In other words, they were trying to raise themselves up over others by putting the others down. Beware, our Lord says, of such actions, especially since so much notice is taken of these little ones that believe in me both in heaven and in earth. These little ones who believe in me in heaven, their angels, are always beholding the face of my Father. And remember that these angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto the heirs of salvation. Don't despise one of these little ones that believe in me. And not only in heaven, but in earth. Don't despise these little ones that believe in me, because the Son of God, the Son of Man, came down to earth from heaven to save them. The one sheep that is missing from the fold, the shepherd searches until he finds it. This is especially speaking to preachers. Paul told the believers in Corinth, for we preach not ourselves. That's not our purpose. We preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You better not despise one of God's children. Not to despise those that the Lord's redeemed. They're God's children. They're precious in his sight. They better be precious in your sight. Now the third passage in verse 14. These little children, even so it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. It's not God's will that one of them, one of these little ones who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, should perish. When we read, and we just read it, when we read that it's not God's will that something not take place, then we better know it's not going to take place. You understand what I'm saying? When the Lord said, it's not God's will that one of these little ones who believes in me should perish, not one is going to perish. He gives unto his sheep eternal life, and he has given them into the hand of his Son. And no one is able to pluck one of them out of his hand. This is God Almighty who says it's not his will that one of these little ones perish. And in Isaiah, he said, I have purposed it. I will also do it. I have purposed that not one of these little ones that believe in Christ, my son, shall perish. I will also do it. He'll make sure that not one shall perish. It's not the will of the Father of these little children, these little ones, that one of them perish. And he has given us into the hand of his Son for safekeeping. And we are safe, those of us who are these little ones who believe in Christ. I pray that the Lord would bless this message, this word, to all of us here tonight. I want us to sing this hymn 64, hymn number 64. And let's stand as we sing.